on chips, rewarded her. Then finally she looked at me like she'd noticed, like actually noticed all the extra chips. Do you know what I realised? She was fat. I'd fatted her. But that's life, innit? Beauty or chips? I like chips. So does she, so that's okay.
And how does that in any way explain why you keep coming to my lectures?
Yeah, it doesn't really, does it? I was hoping something would develop. What's that? A police telephone box?
Yeah.
Did you build it from a kit?
No, it came like that.
Then how did you get it in here? The door's too small, so are the windows.
I had the window and a part of the wall taken out and it was lifted in.
What, with a crane?
Yeah, with a crane. It's heavier than it looks. Why do you keep coming to my lectures?
Because I like them. Everybody likes them. They're amazing. Why me?
Why you would?
Well, plenty of people come to your lectures that aren't supposed to. Why pick on me?
Well, I noticed you.
Yeah, but why?
Well, most people, when they don't understand something, they frown. You smile.
I'll tell you what I don't understand. You've been lecturing here for a long time. Like 50 years, some people say. Nabila in the office says over 70.
Yeah, and you're thinking, well, he doesn't look old enough.
No, I'm wondering what you're supposed to be lecturing on. It's like the university let you do whatever you like. One time, you were going to give a lecture on quantum physics. You talked about poetry.
Poetry, physics, same thing.
How is it the same?
Because of the rhymes. What are you doing at this university?
I always wanted to come here.
Yeah, to serve chips.
So anyway, am I nearly done?
Do you want to be?
See ya.
You ever get less than a first and it's over?
You what?
A first. Every time. Or I stop immediately.
Stop what?
Being your personal tutor.
But I'm not a student. I'm not part of the university. I never even applied.
We'll sort all that out later.
You kind of have to sort that out earlier.
Leave it with me. I'm assuming that it's a yes.
Yes.
I'll see you at 6 p.m. every weekday. I don't care who's dying. Never, ever be late. I'm very particular about time.
Oh. People just call you the doctor. What do I call you?
The doctor.
But doctor's not a name. I can't just call you doctor. Doctor what?
Well, hello everyone and welcome to the 100th episode of TARDIS Blend. 100 episodes, Tom.
I feel like this should be drums.
Yeah.
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 Happy drums.
Yeah, yeah. So, Tom Cheridar and myself, Craig Davies, we are hanging out here for TARDIS Blend. Very suitably, our 100th episode just so happens to coincide with a smash of an opener for Series 10 from Stephen Moffat called The Pilot.
Can I stop you and just say, I feel like they made this episode for Craig.
Let me guess what you're going to say. Can I guess?
Well, let's finish the intro. I just wanted to prep everyone.
Well, no,
whatever
the
episode title actually is. Is not. It's. They made this episode for Craig.
Well, I got to say, I'm going to jump right into that straight away before we get into the plot. This is the first time we've seen the Doctor visit Australia since 1968.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
beautiful shot too.
Yeah, that was with Patrick Troughton, the Enemy of the World. Which, funnily enough, that part of that story is actually set in the year 2017. Which was, I don't know whether that was actually a deliberate reference from Moffat. I dare say it'd be coincidence.
Probably.
But, you know, he's such an uber fan himself that it wouldn't surprise me if he did that. Well, let's get down to the nitty gritty of the show. This episode was absolutely fantastic. Probably the best the best opener we've had, I think, since I'd have to say The Invisible Astronaut.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, really, this was a knock out of the park for me. 5 out of 5 all of the way.
I got to say, Greg, I feel like this is the first time that I'm watching Capaldi.
I agree. Yes.
I feel like this is just, I don't know. Everything's fresh.
And you know what it is? You know what it is?
Lucas just really brought this together for me.
It's the chemistry between the three characters is what's nailing it. And I think you and I were both right when we got to the end of series 9 that Clara had stuck around for one series too long. She needed to go. And, you know, it felt to me anyway that finally we have a new dynamic between our doctor, Peter Capaldi, with a new companion, and also, you know, an odd alien character who is kind of like fulfilling the Captain Jack role, if you will, from Chris Eccleston's era of being a slightly more experienced and knowing alien being than the companion. And I think that works really well in this case. And Matt Lucas is just such a great actor anyway. I mean, his comedy is fantastic. His timing is impeccable. And just the way they react with each other is great.
Well, that's the wacky Matt Smith kind of character action that we've been missing. And I feel like a lot of people have been craving.
I think so, because Matt Smith was a bit more of a manic kind of
doctor. Yeah, but, you know. He, you know, that silliness, that natural silliness came from him. And like Matt Lucas, just sort of, he brings that element in. Cause like when Capaldi is silly, it's like a completely different kind of silly.
Right. It's a different taste of humor, but you know, he's also got this, like, there's element, I see elements of all the other doctors in him, like this old crotchety old bat that we got with the first doctor, you know, and then I often see, you know, some whimsies coming out of him, like from Patrick Troughton. And evidently there's a lot of Tom Baker in his performance as well. But I think you're right. I think this is the first time we've seen, Peter Capaldi's doctor as Peter Capaldi, as opposed to, someone who's trying to bring his own thing to the table, but is being compared to past doctors all the time. And I think we also kind of found that with Matt Smith too. He didn't really hit his stride until his third and final season, I feel. And I think we're finding out.
I think he nailed it. For me, he nailed it pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he was always great.
But that was also like new showrunner, it was a little bit easier to like differentiate, I think.
Right. So let's talk about Bill. Bill Potts, new character, played by Pearl Mackey.
Just immediate reaction. Yay, nay, good, bad, overwhelming.
Oh, I was absolutely stunned at how wonderful she was. I didn't really get a good rub from her in the trailers for some reason. I was kind of, I don't know about this character.
It was tough because I felt like they kind of lumped her in with, you couldn't tell if it was like a spillover promotional deal from that the spinoff Class, which I think Greg and I have mutually decided we're sort of going to ignore.
Yeah, it wasn't very good idea at all. I mean, I've only watched clips of it, and it just felt unappealing. But this is like, I have to say, Tom, I think what's your rating on this episode?
5.
Oh wow! Now look at that. This is the first TARDIS blend in probably what? A 2 year, 3 years?
A lot of TARDIS blends.
That we're both agreeing it's a 5 out of 5. And I would actually say that this would be definitely one of those episodes that you'd add to the pile of, you know, shows that you can introduce new fans to Doctor Who with.
I was thinking about that. You know, I was talking to a couple of people and I was like, you know, I was freaking out. I was like, oh my gosh, new Doctor Who. And the folks that are like, I've never gotten into it, but I want to. And I was like, you could probably just start with this current episode. I mean, like, you'd want to go back and catch up, but like, you could just hit the ground running. It's good.
Yeah. I mean, as far as our tenure as Whovians doing a podcast is concerned, there are 3 modern episodes now that we've recommended as good starting points. Blink. the Doctor's wife, and I think the pilot
can be added to that list. The pilot is excellent. Yeah. I mean, they named it the pilot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the original.
I mean, I understand that it was like also the story, but.
Yeah, it was too punny for Stephen Moffat to resist.
A crafty bunch over there.
Yeah, the original title was A Star in Her Eye, and I'm kind of disappointed they didn't keep that because I like that.
I like the pilot because it matches up exactly with what you and I were thinking. This is a perfect introductory episode.
Yeah.
Let's not confuse and mince words.
Yeah.
Just call it the pilot, and then after you watch it, it takes on its own meaning.
I love the references to Susan, his granddaughter, and Riversong, and Clara, and all those sonic screwdrivers in his office. And the doctor being a lecturer. And it was kind of hinted at that he'd been there for at least 50 years. So
yeah, that's going to be interesting.
So time has passed for the doctor before we've come back to him. And it seems that he's guarding some kind of vault. And that this whole university professor thing is a undercover gig.
Yeah.
So, and he keeps talking about that he made a promise and that he wasn't going to get involved with other people and go traveling. And what's going on? This is weird. And obviously, this is the overarching plot that we're heading towards. And it's kind of like I get a bit of a Pandorica vibe from it a little bit.
I just really appreciated like the care in detail that they like in the extent they went to like really hug the entirety of what made Doctor Who, what has made Doctor Who cool since they relaunched, you know, like it's a little taste of Dalek. They still do the traditional lines, you know, like it's bigger on the inside, but there's like fan nods to it, which I think. It's probably going to annoy a lot of people, but for me, I like that. I think that's great.
The other thing I really appreciated about this episode, along with what you're describing there, is that the fact that for all intents and purposes, the main character of this episode was Bill Potts. I mean, really, the Doctor, Nardole, all the Daleks, and the Mavellans, and all that was just like, they were supporting characters. You know, this was all about Bill, and it really made a big difference to me because we got a good insight into her life and her outlook. I think this is the first openly gay character we've had as a companion, although there was Captain Jack, but I would refer to him as omnisexual, not gay.
Most of the social commentary, I feel like, on that happened in Torchwood. Like, there are obviously nods. Like, there's no hiding the nods, but...
Yeah, and the great thing about it was that, to me, at least, that they just didn't... It wasn't anything that they dwelled on. It was just like, boom, she likes girls, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, and we moved on with it. It became the basis of the story, in fact, because they, the two girls that we had in the story had crushes on each other, and you didn't know, by the way, spoilers, everyone. We do talk spoilers on the show. By the time you get to the end of the episode, we find out that they had a crush on each other. So it was like unrequited love. So you had this tragedy. You had a bit of romance. Obviously the influence of the Doctor and the timey-wimey TARDIS stuff that he kept doing, traveling to a different planet and getting involved in the middle of that extended war between the Daleks and the Mavellans. And what an amazing thing. I honestly feel amazed that Moffat was able to cram so much.
It's a scary episode. If I was a child, I'd be terrified of this.
Oh yeah, what would you call that monster? The liquid
water monster.
It's not really a monster. It's a liquid ship, isn't it?
Was it a ship? I thought it was a creature.
Well, no. The way the Doctor described it, it was more or less along the lines of a shape shifting liquid ship, but it needed a pilot. So it could leave the planet.
Okay. Yeah.
It's
trying to mimic
I got a real Waters of Mars feel from the water effect there. In fact, for most of the episode, I was thinking, is this like, did the Ice Warriors like accidentally drop a bit of water when they last visited Earth or something? Like, what the hell is this all about?
Yeah, I liked it. I think I liked it better. And I was surprised because that was my first thought. But as I watched it and I went back and rewatched the episode, they did well. They took a risk, but it was a cool effect. Also, Greg, we got water Daleks.
Yes, we did.
That's the coolest
yeah,
thing ever.
Yeah, I dug that. Actually, that was actually one of the issues that has popped up among fans online with regards to this episode. The general consensus is very positive about the episode. Most people are digging Bill, especially after seeing the first episode.
Yeah. And she's strong and smart in very different ways than off the bat.
Yeah,
I'm
getting a feel that she has a lot more emotional intelligence than the Doctor, and I think that's going to be that's going to make for a very interesting dynamic between the two.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. And of course, at the end of this year, we're going to find out that we have a new Doctor, because this is Peter Capaldi's last run.
Oh, yeah.
So
let's save that conversation.
Yeah. So it's going to be a big year. Yeah. It's going to be a big year. I loved also the irony of the plot that Bill was being seduced by an alien thing to travel time and space, only to be seduced by a Time Lord to travel time and space. And the doctor was actively warning her about that against that to begin with, but then moved on and you know, decided to go out on adventures with Bill anyway. So, you know, that could be a little bit of foreshadowing there, I think, for Bill's character. I don't know whether it is, but I mean, that was the kind of vibe I got from it. Two other little tidbits that I really like, Tom. The out of order sign that was on the TARDIS at the beginning is exactly the same out of order sign that the first Doctor was using in the early days of the show. So that was a nice little touch. Fans noticed that. And I was talking about the fan reaction. I'm sorry. Let me cycle back to what I was talking about. The fans are pretty happy with the episode. But the one thing that the hardcore classic fans were having an issue with was that they feel that the Mevellan versus Dalek war has been retconned, because we only saw contemporary Dalek designs as opposed to classic Dalek designs. I think that's a little bit nitpicky. I really didn't notice it too much.
Yeah, that's budget.
Yeah, I really don't.
It's just Doctor Who at its heart.
Yeah, it still was fun and enjoyable. And I think that was
nitpicky. I was not bothered by that.
Mm-hmm. And then the last thing I really loved was the physics and poetry line, because it rhymes. I loved that. I thought that was genius. Wonderful stuff. All right.
So I wanted to make a note. When they were trying to have the conversation about time being like a place rather than, you know, and seeing your entire history as like a city,
mm-hmm.
the camera work that they did weaving in and out of Promaki's characters, you know, like time pursuing this girl, or just sort of like her time with the Doctor. I thought that was brilliant.
And it was a beautiful sequence.
Overpowering, because you remember we had a very different reaction to the what was the episode name? But it was the one where essentially the Doctor he had to like slowly regenerate or kill himself, like a recycle himself over and over again to break out of a time cube, time disc.
Oh, you mean the one near the season finale in the last season?
Too much.
Yeah. I
thought this was a good mix of that. Like, you really saw that they really were thinking about this, but they didn't, like, become a slave to it. Because when I sit down and watch Doctor Who, I don't necessarily want to sit down and watch a movie unless I'm being told this is, like, a special movie or a 90-minute, you know, the way that David Tennant did.
Right.
At the end of his run.
Yeah. They had a lot of specials at the end of his run too. So it'll be interesting to see how this pans out. I know there's a lot of plans going on for series 11 already and the transition with the Christmas special. So we're going to be seeing a lot. And obviously the big component of this season is this mysterious university mission that the Doctor is on and that vault. He says he made a promise. Does it have to do with the fact that we're going to see two Masters this season?
Oh, I hope we see more than two.
So, well, see, now that is the question.
Like the four Masters.
Every time I hear about people talk about the fact that John Sim is coming back as the Master, and we've also got Missy coming back as well. There's a lot of people who are saying that the characters are going to come face to face, that it's going to be like multiple Doctor stories. I'm not sure whether they're going to do that or not. In fact, I'm wondering whether we're just going to catch John Sim at the end of his run regenerating into Missy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's
the thing is, we saw him go out and he didn't have the beard and the slick new hairstyle.
Well, we do know that we don't know if he died. That's the question.
That's true.
It was always left open ended at the end of time, because we know Rassilon survived. So, but we don't know what happened to the Master. Was he locked up? Is he still on Gallifrey? You know, where is he? And did he just like once he got into Gallifrey? Did he just, you know, escape the planet before the Doctor locked it up in from reality in another pocket universe, cup of soup, as he did in the Day of the Doctor? I mean, there's a lot of questions about that. And I have a feeling that we're just not going to get the answers.
Because Moffat doesn't
usually provide answers with the Master. His attitude is that the Master's trope is that always you think that the Master, he or she, has died, and then somehow...
Yeah. You start to add too many layers, then lose your ultimate villain.
Yeah, it's that whole...
They've got some nice weaved threads from the history that they kind of, like, place.
And there's also this whole, I escaped. How did you escape, Master? I'll explain later. That whole "I'll explain later" thing is something that Moffat loves. He's cheeky. He doesn't think he has to provide an explanation for everything. And you know what? He's absolutely right. I mean, if you take the most recent Star Wars saga movie as an example, The Force Awakens, there was a very clear effort by Abrams on that movie to not put too much exposition in there. And it really added to the height and the mystery of all the new characters and how the universe is laid out. And I feel the same way with a lot of Moffat stuff too, because it's fun to speculate and do guesswork about Stephen Moffat's writing. Although the last couple of seasons, he's kind of fallen down on his game a little bit. So I'm encouraged by this really strong opening for Series 10. I really am. I'm kind of hoping that he goes out on a bang. And that he gets to tell
He's definitely going to go out of the bank. He's made the adjustments that at least I've been harping on all of last season.
Well, let's talk about next episode. You saw the Next Time trailer there at the end of that episode. And we'll talk about the Coming Soon stuff, which was a separate trailer tacked on at the end. But the Next Time...
They didn't hold anything back, I feel like,
Reel. Yeah, the Next Time reel was just a couple of clips from the next show where we have... I'm not sure what the episode's called. I think it might be called Smile. And it's the emoji robots of Doom, which is kind of cheesy. I think this is going to be our throwaway episode.
You think that this will be the one that we're all like, oh.
I think so. I mean.
It'll be a Robin Hood.
Yeah, I think this is going to be this season's Robin Hood or Curse of the Black Spot or Victory of the Daleks. I think it makes sense to have a strong opening.
I wish we could retitle that episode I, Dalek. Because then I can remember it immediately.
Yeah. Well, I think this. I don't know whether it's going to be a killer episode or not. But from what I've seen of the trailer, it doesn't look very exciting at all. Although we've only seen a little bit of it.
I don't know. There have been other ones like Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, which were like the wackiest, most ridiculous thing ever. Both of us were like, I don't know.
It was fantastic when it came out. Though.
That's one of my favorite episodes.
But, we've been deceived. We've been deceived by that so many times, Tom, because we both felt the same way about the, what was it, a town, the Western episode that they did, A Town Called Mercy.
Yeah.
And like, the trailer looked so good for that. And then when we watched it, it was kind of like, you underuse this character, you underuse this actor. You know
why I think it's going to be different this time, though?
I think, well, I would guess that you're about to say that Moffat wants to write all of the Doctor Who stories he's ever wanted to write in his last season.
Probably, definitely. Yeah. But I think it's because this is now the first time that we're about to see Capaldi matched with a companion that is like an advanced, you know, kind of newcomer, kind of a child, like student to the professor.
Yes.
Kind of relationship, yes. Which is traditionally like when we've really seen like companions take off, like, or at the very least they've had time to grow. Clara had already matured. She had already grown as a character by the time Capaldi showed up, that it didn't make any sense to treat her like that.
Right.
We would have all rejected it immediately.
Right. And the concept at the beginning was like, you know, the Matt Smith doctor calling her from the past saying, he needs your help.
Yeah.
This new doctor needs your help. You need to help him, to heal him. But, you know, the direction it didn't work out in the end.
It didn't work. But, like, this is one, because, like, I saw, like, Capaldi, like, you're a kooky old man, and you're – but also everyone is, like, keenly aware that you're also brilliant. We just don't know what the hell you're doing.
Right.
And you can play with that. I don't know. I just feel like he's very much in his element right now.
Right. Yeah. And you sent me it might have been me that sent you the link the other day. Let me see if I can find it in my email here. But there are rumors already floating around as to who has been cast as the next Doctor. The interesting facet of what's happening with Doctor Who at this point is that it seems that we already see part of Capaldi's regeneration in the trailers for the season. But that doesn't make sense because he is in the Christmas special. So is he?
They've played with future Flash future backs, whatever. Before,
I don't know. It seems
they
really,
have.
I don't know.
They've shown and alluded to Matt Smith's demise, David Tennant's demise.
Yes,
they've shown flashes. Maybe they just decided to be a little bit more bold because, you know, I feel like usually the season doesn't, you know, the season begins and then you find out that the actor has decided to move on, you know? And this time we've been told ahead of time, like well ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
plenty of time to like construct the story around it.
Right.
And so it's like, if that's the case, then I applaud them for, you know, taking advantage of the full narrative.
I think the one thing that a lot of fans are discussing at the moment is that what we may see with this regeneration is that it starts, but the Doctor fights it, and it finally completes in the Christmas special. Now, there's already news going around. Now, the first article has come from The Sun in the UK, which is not usually where I go for the truth.
Why is that? Why is that, Greg?
Fake news, baby.
For people that don't know what The Sun is,
yeah, it's a gossip rag in the UK, basically, and I dare say
on a scale of like TMZ to National Enquirer.
Oh, it's in that range.
In the range of those two.
Okay. Yeah, it's in the range of those two. Now, there's a guy who has been in television shows called My Family and Death in Paradise. His name is Chris Marshall, K-R-I-S Marshall. And the gossip going around is that Chris Marshall has been cast as the next Doctor, simply because their justification for this is that the actor is leaving the show Death in Paradise, which is meaningless. It doesn't mean anything at all. I think, and I sent you a message about this earlier in the week, Tom. I think we're going to see a lot more of pieces like this pop up that are just absolute rubbish, because it's my belief and my prediction that the next Doctor Who, or the next Doctor rather, is going to be female.
I would love that. I just don't think they will.
I think they will. That's my guess at this point. And you know what? If I was a betting man, and I'm not really, you know, I don't think this is a safe bet at this point, but I will call it a wish wager. I would hope that it's Hayley Atwell that gets the role because.
Oh, man. She's got her own thing. She's already got another show.
What, Agent Carter? That's canceled.
No. She moved on from that. She's on another ABC show. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it got picked up. Maybe it got canceled. But she's like a, if she's not the lead, she's like a prominent co-star.
She will. I'm telling you now, dude. Conviction, is that the show?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Conviction. Okay, so if she gets offered a role in Doctor Who, she will drop that show like a hot potato.
I'm telling you.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I don't think so, man.
Absolutely. She's already stated in interviews. Like somebody asked her in an interview, "Would you like to be in Doctor Who?" And she was like, "Fuck that! I want to be Doctor Who." And that's where the rumor started. Why can't I be the Doctor? Yeah. And you know, seeing her in all of those love different it. Movies.
I don't think the stars are going to align because it's at its core, this is a TV show being produced by, you know, or at least in part by a government funded initiative. You know, it is a business for them outside of the UK, I guess even in.
I think this will be
it's not like a movie budget type thing where you incentivize actors and line up their schedules. I mean, like it's got to be a passion project, you know, and it's got to hit their schedule accordingly.
Right. And obviously Doctor Who is on a budget, and they're not going to pay the actors as well as they probably should be as it's the BBC. But the biggest thing about landing the role of the Doctor, especially in this day and age, the contemporary era, is that it's such a boost to your fucking career. David Tennant, you know, he still does Shakespearean thing, but I mean,
might I add, people are constantly referencing your name as an actor and comparing you, like, and your skills and abilities.
Absolutely.
Because you don't, the role is not. That to me is like the ultimate reason. Like, I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to do that. Like, you know, when they had that whole entire Superman curse for like any actor that plays a Superman has no future because all they can ever be.
That was kind of like the original Star Wars trilogy actors, with the exception of Harrison Ford during the late 80s. It looked like Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill's careers were done, and that stigma sat with them both until, I mean, Carrie got out of it earlier because she dove into writing and screenwriting and everything.
Yeah.
But Mark Hamill, he really never recovered until he was cast as the Joker in the animated Batman series. Oh. And once he got into that, you know, he had a completely new different world ahead of him in voice acting. The classic Doctor Who actors struggled with this, but if you look at Chris Eccleston, Dave Tennant, Matt Smith, and now Peter Capaldi, you watch them, their careers are in flight right now. They're doing a great job out there. And, so I think, Hayley Atwell would, I think she'd take the pay cut and I think she'd be the Doctor. I think she'd take it if she was offered the job.
Is your TARDIS going off?
Yeah, I've got to climb in there and fly off in my grandfather clock TARDIS. That's
just wanted to annotate that for
the listening audience. All righty. Well, what are you thinking for the next Doctor, Tom? Have you thought of any actors that you have in mind?
No. Honestly, like I'm usually happy with whoever the heck they pick.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the last time.
And I'm not like as well versed. I definitely will have more of an opinion. You know who I want is Richard Ayoade, I think is his name. I probably butchered his last name. Maurice Moss.
Oh, yeah. I think he'd be a good doctor.
Directed a couple films.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good doctor. Yeah. Well, I mean. That's our fan prediction, isn't it? I mean,
it's never going to happen, ever. I don't even know if he wants to. I don't even know if that's a ridiculous concept. Although I'm sure he's answered the question more times than he cares to. I don't have any like Hayley Atwell would be equally as awesome. I don't care. I hope it's something new and different, because that's what, to me, that's when Doctor Who's at its best, because you're basically like, I don't know, when you can't predict what's coming, to me, that's where Doctor Who shines.
Well, I'm going to travel back in time real quick. To the, I think it was 1997. Let me take a look here at the date. 1999. To Doctor Who, The Curse of Fatal Death. It was a spoof episode that was written and directed by, written by Stephen Moffat before Doctor Who returned. Have you seen that? I'm pretty sure I've watched it. Have you seen it? Okay.
So, you showed it to me, and then you didn't explain anything, and I got really pissed off about it.
So Moffat at the end of this spoof has the Doctor regenerate into a female character, and I think that's exactly where Moffat is going. He has been conditioning us for this for the longest time. Matt Smith was the first one to make a reference to the possibility of a male Doctor regenerating into a female Time Lord, and when he was talking about the Corsair, and then we actually see we see a female Time Lord in the form of Missy, and then we finally see the regeneration for the Captain of the Guard on Gallifrey last season regenerate into a female Time Lord as well. I think he's setting us up for it. I think this is going to be his legacy. He started it way back in 1999, and I think he's going to finish it with that at the end of this season.
You know what I have been disappointed through this entire run, if he doesn't make any kind of reference at all, even just a little nod? The Doctor's daughter, Jenny.
Oh, my God, yes. Because he did say that he wanted to bring her back at some stage.
To me, that's been like the longest running, you know, especially now that there is – now that, you explain better than I do. But there is a reason why – there's an extra reason why we're like watchful of this character. Because the actress who plays it is not just anybody.
Right. Her name is Georgia Moffat, I think, who is the daughter – quite literally, the daughter of a doctor, Peter Davison, the fifth doctor. And Peter Davison's real name is actually Peter Moffat, no relation to Stephen, but he had to change his name before he started acting because there was another Peter Moffat who already had his name registered in UK entertainment as a director and a writer, who actually did some work on Doctor Who too, which was interesting. There's a closeness in her character, in her act.
There's another connection too.
Well, yeah, she's married to David Tennant. there's that, and it would Legacy. Be nice. Yeah, it would be nice to see her come back. But then again, I'd like to see someone like Eve from Torchwood show up one day, or Captain Jack, like all these characters that he's had something to do with.
Yeah,
that in some way or form, it'd be nice if he brings them back one day. All right, throw them in the season finale if you need to, but just, you know, bring them back.
Yeah,
bring them back. I was with this episode too. I was it harkened back a little bit to Rose for me, the first episode of the first season. So at any rate, I mean,
some of that too.
I was thrilled with this episode. And the coming soon trailer, I had to watch it again immediately after watching it the first time. It was just so good. It was such a beautifully put together episode. Moffat at his finest, I think. And it looks like that we're in both agreement. We've given it a rating of 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Which is like the first in a long time.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's worthy of it. Like, at no point in my mind was I not entertained by this episode.
Oh, agreed. Absolutely.
Just great.
Yeah. Okay, so my classic Doctor Who recommendation for you all this week is Destiny of the Daleks, which is a Tom Baker adventure, featuring Lala Ward as Romana during her first season. It is actually the opening serial of the 17th season of Doctor Who, and it's all about the Daleks and their ongoing war with the Mavellans, who we see very briefly in this episode, in the pilot, which was wonderful to see them back. Even though it was very brief, it was cool to see that classic reference come in. So I'm going to recommend Destiny of the Daleks from classic Doctor Who for our listeners to check out. And it's a Tom Baker episode with Romana, played by Lala Ward. And they had an excellent dynamic. So, you know, it's an enjoyable episode anyway. So check it out, Destiny of the Daleks. Tom, do you have a modern Doctor Who recommendation for people after this episode?
No. I think this one kind of stands on its own.
So go watch the pilot again, everyone.
Yeah.
That's what Tom's recommendation is this episode. All right, folks, thanks for hanging out with us for our 100th episode of TARDIS Blend. Tom, where can we catch you online?
You could catch me very infrequently at Geeks of Doom.
Geeksofdoom.com. And of course, you can catch me at heavymetal666.com for the Heavy Metal Historian podcast. Back and about again with a new episode looking at the history of album cover artwork and how it impacted heavy metal. And of course, you can catch the other podcasts, such as The Drill Down, right here at geeksofdoom.com, along with all the great stories, news, and reviews that you're used to at this great site. We'll catch you next week for another edition of the TARDIS Blend. And until next time, Billy Gaff.
I feel like there should be drums.
Yeah.
Yeah.